Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighbourhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly. The satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Tony Hendra.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. Tony, it's almost over, right?
The election?
Yes, the election. It's almost done, mercifully done.
Why are you so upset, Jeff? Aren't we political satirists? We should be loving it.
No, Tony. I can't do it. I mean, I can't stand it. It's just, he's taken up so much space in my brain. It hurts. It hurts. I just want him to go away.
He will, Jeffers. He will. We've survived W, Reagan, Nixon, and they all actually won the election. Well, W didn't.
So there have always been bad men tormenting us?
Oh, yes, little brother.
Tell me, Tony, what was it like when Stalin ruled? When Vlad the Impaler was impaling? When Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun went on tweet storms?
Well, I do remember my parents telling me that if we just kept to ourselves, Vlad the Impaler would pass by our hovel with nary an impale.
And did he?
Indeed he did. And Trump, too, shall pass with nary an impale.
Oh, Tony, that does make me feel better. But when? How much longer must we endure this pain?
Well, he'll lose the election badly, but that won't be the end of it. We won't be done with him until he's goaded into riding a single-engine aircraft into the eye of a hurricane because it bears the same name as one of his rape accusers.
Trying to grab that hurricane by the...
Exactly. Then we'll have peace.
Oh, good. I guess until then, we'll have...
Paris. And the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Women are coming forward saying Donald Trump touched them inappropriately. The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
Excuse me, I believe the correct term is grabbed them inappropriately by the pussy.
I was just standing there and the man grabbed my cat.
Well, I've only just ever seen him on TV and I feel raped.
I mean, you can say that he grabbed us all. His on-screen presence is impeccable.
It was a bit like being roughed up by one of the Keebler elves.
Well, he grabbed me by the pussy, but that's only because he couldn't get it up.
I just find that the phrase grab him by the pussy is very gender discriminatory, and as someone who has committed to being the fifth gender hair-wise known as an unk.
In fairness, if you're Donald Trump, there's no way to touch anybody appropriately.
I've been a high school coach for the past 15 years, and the only thing my boys talk about in the locker room is getting undressed faster.
How many female members of Congress are there again?
You know, a handful.
Yeah. It's sexual assault. Hello, and welcome to Teach Talk, the show that discusses issues in education today. I'm your host, Danielle Stone. A recent wave of stories involving high school teachers having sex with students, including one where the teacher was caught with a 17-year-old in a Pennsylvania cemetery, has reignited the now decades-long discussion regarding the ethics of such relationships. With me today is Dr. Eugene Letcher, professor of psychology at Johns Hopkins University.
Actually, I'm currently an adjunct lecturer at University of Phoenix.
Oh, I'm sorry. My notes say that you're at Hopkins.
Yeah, I move around.
So, what's your take on these high school teachers?
Well, they're sexual predators, plain and simple. In no uncertain terms, there is no reason for an elementary, middle, or high school teacher to go anywhere near a student in his or her care for the purposes of sexual gratification.
Absolutely.
They would be much better off getting teaching jobs at the college level, where their students are above the age of consent.
Well, what?
You get new batches of young, easily impressionable students year after year without being labeled a pedophile.
You...
Perfectly legal.
Dr. Letcher.
Like, when I first got to Hopkins, I found a 20-year-old business major who really wanted an A on her term paper.
Oh, my God.
And it's not like grades mean anything anymore, what with grade inflation. There's the real scandal. And after my department found out about our little arrangement, I rebounded with a sweet gig at University of Maryland. Met a delightfully insecure 18-year-old freshman from Clarksville. Her family was, I want to say, Swedish?
Dr. Letcher, this is highly inappropriate.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm no big fan of the Swedes either. But in this case...
No, I meant your relationship with a student.
I met her when she was 17, and I waited 3 whole months for her birthday. Could you imagine me doing what I did with her to a 17-year-old? That's disgusting! Anyway, once that job fell through, a colleague pulled some strings and got me a lecturer position at Baltimore City Community College. Had my first taste of dark meat.
And now you're an adjunct at University of Phoenix?
Yes. Until the end of this semester. There's been an issue.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a pedophile.
That's all today for Teach Talk. Dr. Letcher, any final words?
Yes, I'm currently offering my services as a tutor.
Oh, great and wise Thaldor, most insightful sage and conjurer of all the land. I have traveled for 20 years to speak with you. I braved the perilous blood swamps of Arlomea, slew the Gracken, engaged in mortal combat with all 74 of the demon knights of Angalore. I have endured biting cold and scorching heat, bitter trials and unbearable hardships, all to be here today to speak to you. Please, you must answer my question. I have come all this way to learn. Why must humanity suffer?
Welcome to the automated Thaldor Question Processing Center. Para Español,
Person.
O clima número dos. If you know your party's extension,
Person.
You can dial it at any time.
I want to talk to a person.
For the great and wise Thaldor, please press
a human.
If you require
a human person,
guide, please press 2. If you would like a better understanding,
I want to speak
heaven,
to a person.
It sounds like you would like to speak to a person. Is this correct?
Yes.
Thank you. You will be connected to the first available Thaldor. Please be aware we are experiencing an unusually high call volume. Your expected wait time is
45 years.
45 years.
Please stay on the line. Thaldor will be with you as soon as possible.
I'm not waiting 45 years. I might as well just stab this damn machine.
Hello, good Sir Knight. What?
No! But I never learned why mankind must suffer!
It is because...
Yes?
We're sorry, but the wizard you have dialed has been disconnected. Please leave the hut and try your meeting again later. Goodbye.
Did you learn what you sought, Sir Percival?
You know what, Squire? This is what happens when you outsource your wizarding services. Whole realm's going to hell. I'm voting for Lord Trump.
And that is why you suffer.
Wow, Dad, this vegetarian buffet has everything.
It sure does, Billy. Hey, is that a human foot?
Hi, I'm Robin from Robin's Real Vegan Feedback. And at Robin's, we have a philosophy. No matter how good people think they are, no matter how pure they want to live, everybody wonders a little what it's like to eat human flesh.
Well, I must admit.
That's why at Robin's, we use whole grains, tofu, and assorted other vegetable products to synthesize a convincing facsimile of human meat. Like this mold of gluten, olive tapenade, and creamed lentils that tastes exactly like the buttocks of a middle-aged man.
It's kind
of
fatty.
It sure is. But that's the monosaccharides, the good kind of fat.
But wait a minute. How do we know this really tastes like human flesh?
Because my consultant Dave helps me get the taste and texture just right. Hey Dave, does this actually taste like the right bicep of a 19-year-old hitchhiker?
Oh yeah. That's a 19-year-old.
So come on down to Robin's Real Vegan Feedback. Clear your karma, cleanse your colon, and find out once and for all whether you really would enjoy the taste of human flesh.
Hi, I'm calling from South Bay Honda with an exciting offer on your car.
My old Civic?
We can offer you $3,000 for that car. That's way over the Blue Book value, Mr. Davis.
Well, that's very nice of you, but I live in Los Angeles, so I still need the car.
Of course. So what we can do is set you up with a new car for as little as $5,000 with a trade-in.
Well, I don't have a job, so I don't have the $5,000.
Not a problem. We can offer a payment plan for as little as $250 a month.
Well, I don't have a job, so I can't make those payments.
Well, we can arrange
I don't have a job, so there's no reason for me to get a new car that I can't afford.
Well, believe it or not, you're actually more likely to get a job if you make a major new purchase. So we can sign you up for something today, or are you interested in the sale or straight trade-in allowance?
You can't hang up the phone, can you?
What?
You're a salesman, so you can't hang up until you make the sale or I hang up first. But here's the thing, Todd.
How did you know my name?
I don't have a job, Todd. I don't have money at all. I don't have the possibility of money. So my answer always has to be no. But I am not going to hang up.
Well, we can make loan arrangements.
Doesn't matter. I don't have money. I can't get a new car.
Well, different payment plans.
I don't want a car, Todd. I have a car. It's a good car. It's so good, you called me up to buy it. Let me ask you something. Your boss is watching you right now, isn't he? They're recording this call for quality purposes.
Well, I know you're very busy,
I'm not busy. I don't do a goddamn thing all day. You have a job. Your job sucks, but apparently it's the only one you can get. But you won't keep that job unless you either make the sale or get off the phone and find someone else. And you're not going to do either one, because I'm not going to trade in the car, and I'm not going to hang up. So what are we going to do here, Todd?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Let's see. It says you live in Woodland Hills.
Where are you getting this information from?
I'm going to email you a contract, and I'm not going to get off the phone until you sign it. And then I'm going to move into your house.
Okay, you're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm unemployed. This is how I survive. I've been living with another salesman for the last 6 months. He tried to sell me a pool, Todd. A pool. Can you imagine?
Please.
But I'm bored with him, Todd. I'll get bored with you, too. But not yet.
I have a family.
Hey, I have a family, too, now. Yours. You've got the contract now. It stipulates I can live in your home for an indefinite period. Hey, looks like I have a friend in your neighborhood.
Well, why don't you just live with him?
Can't. He's unemployed, too. Pulling the same scam I am. You know a house on Hillhurst with three cherry trees out front? Did you ever notice a guy living in the garage? That's Jerry. Oh, man. Fucking Jerry. You're gonna like Jerry, Todd. We're all gonna be great friends. Really. The best of pals. For a while.
Okay, we're just about over the jump point. You guys ready to go?
Yes!
Ready!
Great. I hope you all then. Count to 10, then pull the cord just as we practiced. I need a verbal confirmation that you understand what I said.
Confirm.
Got it.
You ready for this, babe?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Right. We're at the jump point. Ready? One, two, three, go! Oh!
This is incredible!
Yeah!
How are you doing?
I think we should talk.
What?
I think we should talk.
About what?
I don't know. I wanted to bring this up earlier, but there really wasn't a good time.
What? I can't hear you.
I wanted to. Screw it. I think we should break up.
What?
I've been thinking about it for a while. This really isn't working out for me anymore.
Oh, my God. Are you breaking up with me while we are skydiving?
Yeah. Guess so.
Are you insane?
No, insane would be spending another day with you pretending I was still into this whole thing.
Okay. Well, we can just talk about this when we get to the ground.
No, I don't want to put it off anymore, okay? I've already talked to Hank. He's going to let me crash on the couch for a bit.
Okay, Chuck, I can hardly hear you, and you are breaking up with me while we're falling from the sky. Shit, I lost count. Has it been 10 seconds? Should we have pulled our chutes already?
Yeah, about that.
What?
I removed your parachute from your bag.
What?
Yeah, you know how it's really awkward to run into your ex after a breakup, so I just wanted to make sure that wouldn't happen for us.
You decided to have me fall to my death?
Yeah, I was just looking out for our best interest, babe.
Do not babe me. And while we're being so honest right now, I also removed your parachute.
What? Why?
You just got that life insurance policy from work, and it didn't seem like you were ever going to get a raise there.
I was playing the long game.
Ugh, exactly. I thought would be eventual family was to use that life insurance policy.
So neither of us have shoots.
Looks that way.
And we're both going to hit the earth at incredible speeds and die instantly in a horrific bloody mess.
I guess so.
Well, look at us, two peas in a pod.
Samesies as ever.
Shit, I don't know what I was thinking. I totally still have feelings with you. You want to get back together?
What? No! You literally just murdered me. Go fuck yourself, Chuck.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
After the success of the Final Edition's album, Are There Any Triggers Here Tonight?, presented in conjunction with the National Lampoon, we at the Final Edition Radio Hour are on the brink of another ambitious, gut-busting project. A blistering three-podcast satirical series, not about sensitive emails and sensitive portions of a lady's anatomy, but about the truly important issue in this election, the Supreme Court. Here's an inside taste of what's to come in some outtakes we couldn't find a home for. Clarence Thomas is well known for his complete silence during the court's deliberations. What fascinating things are going on inside that noble judicial head?
You'll hear argument first this morning in case 14-1468, Birchfield versus North Dakota, and the related cases. Mr. Rothfeld?
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. The fundamental problem with the statutes at issue...
And blah, blah, blah. God, I hate being a Supreme Court justice. There's Sotomayor and Kagan. I think both of you old dykes could stand to have your dockets filled with more than cobwebs.
Why, Clarence, I do declare there's no need for you to be talking like that about those white ladies. It is I, the plaintiff voice of your long-suffering colored self.
Oh, hello, Uncle Thomas. What brings you around?
Why, we still got us some accommodating to do, Clarence. Remember, as constitutional originalists, we gots to base everything on the supposed intentions of a bunch of 18th century John Roberts, rich planners what literally done owned our ancestors.
Yeah, yeah. What have you got now?
Well, reading the Constitution strictly, it is my considered opinion that you is only 3/5 of a Supreme Court justice. The good news is that there breaks the 4-4 deadlock the court is in. And a supposed even split is really a vote of 4-3 3/5. And whatever side you're on, loses.
Great. Thanks, Uncle Thomas.
You's welcome. I was just trying to base everything on a society where you would be bought and sold like a prize heifer. Because that's what the founders done wanted.
Of the combination of the benefit and the conditions.
Oh, no. More stupid, boring court stuff.
How about this? Is it cruel and unusual punishment if you're dressed as a chicken and shot out of a cannon?
Do you die?
Well, yeah.
Not cruel and unusual punishment.
Come on, they dress you like a chicken.
So?
They put a beak on your face, attach feathers to your body, make you wear chicken feet, make you squawk like a chicken, stuff your chicken body into a cannon, light a match, and shoot your chicken ass out to sea. That is very cruel and unusual punishment.
Do you die?
How could anyone survive that?
Then it's not punishment. It's only punishment if you survive, man.
Why?
Dudes, the objective of punishment is to reform, okay? Not to kill. Therefore, punishment can't be cruel and unusual if it was never punishment to begin with.
Fuck me. So the government can do whatever twisted shit it wants to you as long as it results in your death?
Bingo. I think you guys are finally getting it.
Well, how about this?
Wait, wait. Before we go any further, does anyone need a re-up of angel dust?
Yeah, sure. Man. Definitely. Okay, so how about this? They dress you like a little baby with a pacifier and everything. They tie you to a camel who then runs full speed for 3 straight weeks in the desert, dragging you behind it. Each night, You have to sing a love song to the camel. And if the camel doesn't like it, he spits on you. And depending on what color the spit is, that's how you know what your mom's maiden name was. And then if your mom was not a good person, you'll know because it'll make you break out in hives.
Do you die?
Yeah.
New on the Law Channel, Hillbilly Supreme Court Justice. We now join already in progress the oral argument of Robin C. Conrad on behalf of the petitioners in the death penalty case of the hapless city feller versus Dogpatch, Kentucky.
Bailiff Ziggurat, commence with the hollering.
All right, get off your smelly butts, Dricky, for a whoop your britches plum hard into mushmelons. The Honorable Chief Justice Zig Cooter presides.
Thank you, Bailiff. Sit down, your behinds. Bailiff, please bring on the next case for my perusal.
Your Honor, counsel approaches.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. My name is Mr.
Well, what do we got here? Looks like we got ourselves a hapless city fella.
thank you, Your Honor, but actually, I'm counsel for the individual known as hapless city feller.
Yeah. You never should have come around these parts, in this district, in this particular jurisdiction, I mean. That's what I'm talking about, basically. You get the gist.
Yes, Your Honor.
Court reporter, please read back the transcripts from your electronic spoken word recording device.
But, baby, I mean, Your Honor, you know I can't read.
Duly noted for the record. Proceed, counsel.
If I may please the court with my oral argument.
Excuse me?
May I please, Your Honor, present my oral argument?
Come again?
I wish to present you my oral
argument. I heard you saying oral three times. Court reporter, how many times did he say oral?
But, baby, you know I can't count.
They noted.
Your Honor, I'm here to present my argument against the constitutionality of the death penalty.
Daddy's a great Jew dictator.
Shut your mouth. Shut your ugly hole. You're the shame of the family. Your mother must have laid with a possum, because you ain't no son of mine.
Wow, wow, wow.
Right. So, counsel, how do you want to present your case again?
Orally.
That's it. Court's adjourned while we take you yonder to the old dry creek bed to do whatnot in assorted hurtings upon your torso.
What? You're going to remand me to the old dry creek bed for torture?
Hell no. We're just going to take you yonder to the old dry creek bed to do whatnot in assorted hurtings upon your torso.
Objection. My God, you don't even know what remand means.
Objection sustained.
And I also object that the court reporter and bailiff are being played by the same actor.
But they are the same person. That's my son. And his son. Regardless, you still must be punished.
What's the punishment then?
You have the choice of a small fine or Chi-Chi.
What's the small fine?
Death.
What's Chi-Chi?
Don't worry about that. That's where we put you in a barrel and fuck you, light you on fire and roll you down a hill onto a big cactus, fuck you again. Then we rip out your intestines, which we then reuse as rope at the local parkour facility. Big hit with the tourists, then we fuck you again.
I object, Your Honor. The state of Kentucky outlawed Chi-Chi 5 years ago as cruel and unusual punishment in the case of the missionary versus the Lost Amazon tribe.
I reckon you're right. The court rescinds the punishment known as Chi-Chi.
Thank goodness. Death is bad enough, but Chi-Chi would be unbearable.
Counsel, after much deliberating, I have reached my verdict. Your argument before me today was inspiring and eloquent. Your words have compelled this court to show mercy and compassion upon the accused by giving you as quick and painless an execution as medically possible using only the most modern and scientific methods available.
So death it is.
I reckon.
Thank you, Your Honor.
But first, Chi-Chi.
Oh, God, no!
Join us again next week on Hillbilly Supreme Court Justice to see what comes next on Zed Cooter's docket.
Who said docket in my court?
You know I can't read!
You know he can't read!
We're the same person!
Hello?
Yeah, are you Merrick Garland?
Yeah. Am I in the right place? I got a message saying I should meet Sam at the Supreme Court.
That's me, bud. Justice Sam Alito. But my friends call me Lido Deck. I'm kind of the Supreme Court's cruise director. Look, I know Congress is trying to hold you up until after the election, but we at the court have our own confirmation tradition.
Yeah, SCOTUS needs to get a crack at you first, if you know what we mean.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Yeah, bitch. You're ours now.
I don't understand. Is this, hazing?
Let me see if I can explain it. The court rules on lots of stuff.
The court rules!
And you have to be familiar with lots of issues like...
the ice caps melting.
Oh, you just poured ice over my head.
Or deficit cuts.
Hey, you just cut my hair. Stop it.
Or what? You gonna snitch on us to Dean Obama?
Now you're gonna get it, Pledge. I'm your chief. I'm John Roberts. Dude, don't be a bork.
Borks get forks!
Ow! Where did you get a fork?
So, do you want to be part of SCOTUS House or not?
Do I want to be a justice? I do?
He does! The court rules!
Hi, are you new? I'm Elena.
Justice Kagan, stop it.
I was the new pledge last time. Hey, justices! Let's make a mask out a lobbyist.
Ooh, let's make her perform a transvaginal ultrasound. Hashtag warn women. Hashtag that's what's up.
I know, let's make him hunt a person for sport.
We don't have time. We have to get ready for the toga kegger.
I can't believe the Supreme Court throws toga parties.
With these robes, every day is a toga party. Garland, do a keg stand. How do you feel?
The court rules?
The court rules! SCOTUS, SCOTUS! Oh no! Habeas corpus! Ay, 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 I said SCOTUS, SCOTUS! Oh baby! Stare decisis! Yeah, 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 yeah!
We're all gonna get late!
Even me!
We will be back right after this. Thank you so much. Hi, welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Are you as tired shitless of this election as we are? Just had it with being addressed by your first name and dunned for weird little sums of money by people you'd never want to meet from Move On or Emily's List or Breitbart or Newsmax or some guy running in the 17th Congressional District from a state you wouldn't be seen dead in? And being reminded every nanosecond by every hack in the hackistocracy that this is the most important election of the century, if not of all recorded history. Well, we've got an answer for your anomie. A trip down memory lane to a kinder, gentler time when presidential elections were almost fun and presidential candidates were almost lovable. Way back when in 2012.
Want to win an election? Buy it on eBay!
I know!
Whether Whether it's a national primary or a statewide recall, Election Bay has the votes you need, and the highest bidder wins.
Awesome! I'm the mayor of Duluth!
And you don't even live there!
I never will!
Plus, thanks to the Supreme Court, your bids are completely anonymous. Who really bought the freeholder election in Lace County, New Jersey? Well, I'll tell you who bought it. Eat me. That's who bought it.
I'm the one who bought it. Maybe.
Oh, see it, bid it, win it on Election Bay. Election Bay.
Hello, I'm Candy Crowley, chief political correspondent for CNN and anchor of State of the Union with Candy Crowley. I'm also the first woman to host one of these debates in 20 years, which is supposed to be progress, although the only reason I'm here is because of a group of teenage girls who put a petition on Facebook while a brain-dead old rat trap like Jim Lehrer got to do it 11 times. Tonight, we're at Hofstra University because apparently all the good New York schools were taken. Tonight's debate is in a town hall format with ordinary citizens providing the illusion that ours is a working democracy. But first, opening statements from the candidates. President Obama, there was a coin toss, but you were too tired to call it, so Governor Romney decided to go first, then he changed his mind, and now you're going first. Mr. President. Mr. President?
I'm sorry, Candy. I appear to have nodded off. But while I was sleeping, I remembered that I killed Osama bin Laden.
Yes, Mr. President, that may not be the only thing you killed. Governor Romney?
Candy, I'm pleased to be here.
And I'm pleased to be here.
And I'm pleased to be here.
I'm also pleased to be here.
Wait a minute. Which one of you is Mitt Romney?
Well, I'm Mitt Romney.
I'm Mitt Romney.
I'm Mitt Romney.
And darn it, I'm also Mitt Romney.
You can't all be Mitt Romney.
But we are. I mean, I am.
I'm Mitt Romney, governor of Massachusetts.
I'm the Mitt Romney who doesn't care about the 47%.
I'm the Mitt Romney who's owned by the Koch brothers.
And I'm Mitt Romney, the moderate Democrat from the last debate.
I'd like to point out that while there are four Mitt Romneys, there are only two President Obamas, the inspiring one who makes good speeches and the dull one who everyone hates now. But both of them killed Osama bin Laden.
I don't want to cut taxes on the rich.
I do want to cut taxes on the rich.
I want to cut taxes on the rich, then not cut taxes on the rich.
I think Massachusetts should be returned to the states and then renamed Taxachusetts.
Governor Romney, this is a town hall format debate, but you have so many personalities, you're your own town hall meeting.
Thanks, Candy. My goal is to have as many personalities as the Chinese.
But which Romney would govern in the White House?
None.
The Koch brothers will govern. We'll just be 13,241 figureheads.
Wow. How can all of you be on the ballot?
Well, it's easier in Florida.
We use very small fonts.
We bought the election 2 years ago.
I hate Big Bird.
Ask not what your Romney can do for you. Ask what you can do for your Romney.
President Obama, any response from you before you go down in flames again?
I'd like to point out that although my poll numbers have decreased by 5, the number on my sleep bed has increased by 11.
As the first woman in 20 years to be allowed to moderate this meaningless exercise, I'll be excited to start this non-event right after this. After a long-fought presidential campaign, millions of people expressed sadness and outrage this morning when informed that the election is still going. Cameron Spacey, a volunteer for Barack Obama's campaign.
I mean, you put your heart and soul into something like this. You volunteer your time. You make phone calls for months. After all that work, it's still October.
Lance Partridge of the Mitt Romney campaign.
I'm not going to pretend we're not disappointed. I was really hoping that by now, it would be 3 weeks later, and we wouldn't be thinking about this anymore.
And of course, moments like these are always a disappointment for third parties. Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson.
Well, of course, I'm exhausted and disappointed, but I'm just glad it's over.
But the election's still on.
Pepper, I'm the Libertarian candidate.
Oh, it's over. In related news, the campaign press corps has been overtaken by a wave of suicides after being asked whether they expected to be covering Hillary Clinton in 2016.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is closely modeled on the classic satire of the National Lampoon Radio Hour, which itself grew out of the comedy albums National Lampoon released in the early 70s, which I co-produced with various other editors. Here's an election piece from the very first one, Radio Dinner, which came out just in time for the most important election of the century, if not all of recorded history, Nixon versus McGovern in 1972.
Now, Banana Heritage Productions presents How Democracy Works, number 43, The Miracle of Free Elections.
Free elections depend upon a free people. From the earliest stages, the voice of the people must be heard at all times.
Sorry, boy, this caucus is for us Caucasians.
You know how much he got all those holes in his forehead? Learn to eat with a fork.
How about you and me going for a little spin?
Places of nomination for the presidency of these United States, a 1973 avocado green Pontiac GTO.
Representative of all the people responds to the will of the other people.
Those cynical manipulators of all that's best in America. Henry, what won't they stoop to?
Listen, Dumplink, thank God it wasn't an imperial. You wouldn't stand a chance.
Well, what should I do to combat this infamy? Develop a fender? Grow a grill?
Be yourself, Cookie. I got the plot.
And across the nation, the voice of the people responds to the will of the people.
I'd vote for the Pontiac every time. This baby's got 350 horses under the hood. You need that extra power on today's highways.
Anything but Nixon, man. A blender. Anything.
Modern technology can record the voice of the people with the utmost precision.
Pontiac, 38%. Nixon, 41%. Go get him, Pontiac.
Enabling those in power to remain faithful to their oath of office.
Now, many of you may wonder why, in announcing our withdrawal from Southeast Asia and the legalization of marijuana, I am wearing these ludicrous headlamps on my ears. Let me explain.
The will of the people demands the frank exchange of opinion.
Mr. Candidate, perhaps you'd give the panel some idea of your general approach.
Boy, can that baby hang in there on the corner?
Well, I'd just like to say, Harry, that in the accelerating times in which we live, we must not change lanes in crowded traffic.
How many miles should get to the gallon?
Oh, 20, 22 on a long haul.
But rather negotiate the just tricky think, curves of the future.
If only
with
Kennedy had been continental, he'd still be with us.
And if only Roosevelt had been a wheelchair.
The will of the people is clear. Adjustments must be made.
I'm sorry, Spiro. It's the will of the people.
That's right, boss. Spiro, he dance no more on the heads of punks. But tell Spiro one thing, boss, before he waddle off into sunset. Who is new Spiro?
Well, this is hard, old friend, but a truck. A four-axle Mack semi.
That's good, boss. A truck, he dance good on the heads of punks.
In the heat of an election year, however, mere adjustments are not enough.
Pontiac, 764%. Nixon, sip.
Yes, the will of the people is a cruel mistress. Yet it is in the darkest hour that she teaches her most lasting lesson.
Why do they hate me? I only want to be president.
Blindings!
Ja, Herr Doktor!
Ziegler!
Ja, Herr Doktor!
Klein!
Ja, Herr Doktor!
Nofziger!
Ja, Herr Doktor!
This the seventh crisis is. Something hot we got to plot. Think!
Think! Think! Think!
Shut up! Me, I say he's got to be a fridge. Give the dummies a clear choice.
Nine.
He can beat your electric knife to the top of his vayhax, yeah?
Nine.
Dishwasher, how about? Get the Fraulein's,
nine. Is so.
Metternich, ein fridge would be. Bismarck, ein fridge would be.
Wait. Couldn't I just be a car, too?
Nine.
Wait. What if a lot of cars he is? Rolls Grill, Caddy Fender, Imperial White Walls.
One of them pimp cars he'd look like.
Though.
And so, through the will of the people, the representative of all the people is transformed from a representative of none of the people into a representative of some of the people. Democracy at work.
Someone's coming. Someone good. Someone rugged. Someone smooth. Someone long, sleek, exciting, powerful. Someone you can slip into as easily as he slips into you. The all-new 1973 Nixon GOP. You want a president with breakthrough thrust. A president who won't boil over when the heat's on. Above all, a president who starts first time in a Cold War. Try the 1973 Nixon. He grips the road to prosperity like a tiger. And he breaks, just like a little demon. Join the generation of peace with Nixon. He's all yours.
The preceding was a political announcement paid for by the Nixon Mac Campaign Committee.
The voice of the people is heard once more.
Don't believe it, man. He'll do anything, anything.
With the will of the people duly satisfied, the race for the highest office in the land, not a prize, but a privilege, enters its final lap.
Here in tiny Buena Vista, California, the Democratic candidate took a definite stand on the busing issue today by forcing seven school buses into a multiple accident. From all over the nation have come congratulations and pledges of support.
Hose those kids off the road, will you? You're holding up traffic.
In other dramatic developments, the president appointed a Buick to the Supreme Court, announced plans for a summit meeting with the Zopsk limousine, and pledged the vote to all auto Americans. Mr. Nixon himself cruised down to Lot David for a $100 a tank fill-up, accompanied by Mrs. Nixon, now a Chevy Nova, and the seven White House Volkswagens.
And so the election reaches a fitting climax.
Once more, folks, is a last-minute entry into the Demo Derby. Governor Wellis of Alabama's a 1958 Dodge pickup. And all three contestants are hurtling around this tiny figure eight of doom and destruction. The president narrowly misses the Pontiac, and the Pontiac in the pickup. The president comes around again and rear-ends the Pontiac. He's got that extra length, that extra strength, and he rear-ends Wellis, and he tears them both apart again and again and again. Yes, folks, it looks like Nixon in 72.
And so, through the miracle of free elections, history is made once more.
Do you, Richard Nixon, engine number 5286A76, swear to uphold the oath of office of the President of these United States?
Beep, beep.
The will of the people triumphs, bestowing upon the choice of some of the people the trust of all of the people, thus guiding the greatest democracy on earth safely down the highway of the future.
This program has been brought to you by the Republican Party, a leisure service of IT&T.
After these messages, the final edition radio hour will go to Pi Squared.
We will be right back after this.
Pull up your pants, we're back! It's the final edition radio hour!
Today on Morning Fear, is your head too small?
Plus a new kind of cancer that's airborne. We have an expert who's heard of it.
That's today on Morning Fear.
That was a track from the new album from the Final Edition and National Lampoon called Are There Any Triggers Here Tonight? Now available on iTunes and at thefinaledition.com. You can also listen to the Final Edition Radio Hour here on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. Hello, fans of the Final Edition Radio Hour. I'm Jeff Kreisler, co-executive producer of the show, the other guy that makes things happen. As you may have heard, we recently put out an album with National Lampoon called Are There Any Triggers Here Tonight? I'm very proud of the album. I think it really represents some of what we can do. It speaks to some of the issues in the air these days, and I hope you've given it a listen and bought it and shared it. But you may not know, that's not the only thing we do. We've got this Supreme Court thing coming up, and a few years ago, we actually put out another album. It was much lower profile. It was called The Vinyl Edition. I'm also proud of that, and it represents some of the work in our first couple years of broadcast existence. Just to give you a little tease of all the things we've done, we're now going to play some snippets, some of my favorites from that album, The Vinyl Edition, which you can also buy on CD Baby and iTunes, and all the other places you can find Are There Any Triggers Here Tonight. And I hope you'll enjoy this and then get back to listening, sharing, and loving everything that we do. Thanks so much.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by Starbucks, the fragrance.
Introducing Starbucks, the fragrance. Wake up and smell like coffee.
Caution, the fragrance you're about to use will make you extremely hot.
The Final Edition is pleased to present this special message.
Hi, I'm a typical suburban dad.
And I'm his typical suburban wife.
Hey, honey, do you hear the winds of change blowing?
Sure do, honey. Why don't you tell them what's happening to the nuclear family?
Yes, dear. The average nuclear family now consists of two children, a pet, and a semi-automatic weapon.
Our family is better than average. We have three children and two semi-automatic weapons.
Oh, honey, you know we have two children now.
Oh, that's right, dear. One of them shot the other one.
We call it family fire.
It's what happens when you leave your guns out. It's our Second Amendment right.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the state, the right of the people to leave their guns out shall not be infringed.
You'll have to pry our kids' guns from their cold, dead fingers.
Which we've done.
You know, honey, losing a child is a small price to pay for keeping and bearing arms.
You said it, dear. After all, we can always get more kids.
Guess we're gonna have to start right now.
Fortunately, there's a brand new organization for parents who leave their guns out where their kids can get them.
The PTNRA.
The Parent Teacher National Rifle Association.
The PTNRA makes sure no law will ever come between your child and your gun.
Thank God. Hey, Junior, what you got there? Isn't that cute, honey? Honey?
The PTNRA. Because guns don't kill, very small people whose parents have guns do.
And now, still more from the Final Edition's finance feature, Money or Die.
The great economic booms of the modern era, housing in the 2000s, technology in the 1990s, savings and loans in the 1980s, have one thing in common, bubbles. Many economists believe we need another bubble to accelerate our current recovery. One believer is David Schwarzstein, an unindicted accountant formerly of Arthur Andersen. He created the popular low-risk, high-return, general uncertainty margins, or GUMs, designed to reinflate the economy.
What industry will create the next five-year ride of imaginary wealth? Oil or autos, airplanes, entertainment, corn, solar, celebrity fashion? No one knows. But this came to me on Turks and Caicos. Everyone's speculating. Speculating about the speculative market. Speculation about speculation is still speculation, isn't it?
Turns out, yes, it is. Thus, the bubble concept. Speculation in speculation. Schwarzstein created GUMs in partnership with Citibank, Deutsche Bank, and Bank of America. A Citibank spokesman explained how they work.
Institutional investors buy a minimum $10 million bet that one of 25 pre-selected industries will produce the next bubble. They only put down 0.1%, so their stake is an incredible 99.9% leveraged.
a Deutsche Bank analyst continued.
These institutional bets are then bundled into GUMs, and shares of those are offered to the public. It's totally safe. All you need is a bank account and the desire to get rich. GUMs will always appreciate.
Are GUMs SEC and FTC approved? A Bank of America economist insists that they probably are.
But that doesn't matter. What matters is that GUMs are really certainly win-win. So there's no time to lose. Buy shares right now. Don't ask questions.
Could these bubble GUMs rejuvenate America's arthritic economy?
You can bet your life on it.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by LayPal. No stolen credit card numbers. No statements with transparently obvious circumlocutions for sex services dreamed up by brain-dead porn merchants. No lingering paranoia about blackmail. No records. No paper trail. What happens with LayPal stays with LayPal. Open your anonymous account and keep it current. When you need to get laid, just click on LayPal. Your lay will be on his or her way. LayPal, the world's most loved way to lay and get laid. Bitcoins accepted.
And now more from the Final Edition's finance feature, Money or Die.
Major corporations continue to be nervous about corporate taxes going up and loopholes being closed. Our very own Money Honey Bunny Bucks has the scoop.
Will a second-term Obama finally implement his plan to tax big corporations till they bleed? What do? Fred Bread, Deloitte professor of voodoo accounting at the University of Phoenix, thinks he knows.
In our crazy deist republic, what corporate entities have the juiciest tax breaks of all?
GM. GE?
No, silly! Religions! So, if a corporation can prove it's actually a religion, they will pay zero taxes.
To test his theory, Professor Bread took me along with him for a show-and-tell meeting with Robert Iger of the largest entertainment conglomerate in the world, Disney, Inc.
Okay, Professor, let me get this straight. You're saying the Disney Corporation exhibits all the characteristics of a religion?
Yes! A better name would be the Church of the Holy Rodent.
Holy Rodent? I don't know.
Hear me out! The Rodentine faith centers around three persons, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy. Icons so sacred they adorned the planes, tanks, and ships which won the crusade against fascism in World War II.
I guess that's true.
So, like the Christian Trinity, the Rodentine Trinity is one in spirit, but with three distinct persons. God the Vermin.
Up and at 'em, pal.
God the Duck. And God the Holy Goof.
When you put it like that, denying it feels almost like blasphemy!
Exactly! These are saints so sacred, not only have they never had sex, they don't even have sexual characteristics!
I like where this is going.
All Disney females from Snow White to Mary Poppins are virgins, especially Bambi's mother, when she presents the world with her little Bambi, the Bambino!
The princess boy!
This is genius!
Wait, what about Minnie?
I would surmise that Minnie had a murky past before she got together with Mickey. Meet Minnie Magdalene.
You clown.
Now that's a global blockbuster. Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy return in an animated New Testament. Get me Katzenberg.
Finally, there's Disney's immutable doctrine of resurrection after death. Or apparent death.
That's true. All the heroines die and come back to life. Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Ariel, Mulan.
Heroes, too. What about Mowgli?
And Pinocchio. Pinocchio even has a conscience. Jiminy Cricket.
There's two ways to do anything, the right way and the wrong way.
Whose initials are
J.C.
Pinocchio undergoes the torments of Jonah in the belly of a whale and is transfigured by resurrection into a real boy.
I'm a real boy!
Plus, plus, his father is a carpenter!
Oh my God!
I would argue to the IRS that Pinocchio fulfills the opening words of St. John's Gospel. In the beginning was the wood, and the wood was made flesh.
Oh my God!
This is huge. No way we'll ever pay another cent in taxes. In fact, I'm renaming our Florida operations. Tomorrow, I can see it now. Disney World to come. The Magic Kingdom of Heaven.
Brilliant. That should cinch it tax-wise.
Disney has already applied to the IRS for tax-exempt status as an established faith. Experts from Deloitte say it's a slam dunk. Disney will then rebrand itself globally as the Holy Rodent Empire.
And you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lenk, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, James Mount, Jessica Park, Kurt Weitzman, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. Credit to our writers at the Final Edition Radio Hour, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Lenk, James Mount, Jessica Park, Kurt Weitzman, Leslie Shapira, Kate Knowles, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Lenk. Audio edited and engineered by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC. Copyright 2014.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.